Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. We've been going through the epistle of John. These are great truths that we've been looking at, great truths to think about and consider. 1 John chapter 3. Today we will be emphasizing verses 9, 10 and following. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. This is not talking about, this is talking about a life of sin, continuing a life of sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. It's obvious to see. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Verse 7 introduces the paragraph, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, that's Christ, is righteous. Righteous. Of course, we have an important word here. Righteousness. Righteousness is the doing of right. The doing of right. Doing what is right. The Ten Commandments summarize righteousness, summarize that man has a duty to God and man has a duty to man. There is that which is right, which is our duty towards God. There is that which is right, which is our duty toward man. Doing right is basically... Doing right is the cry, is the lifestyle, is the center of the life of a person who is saved. That's what the Bible says. A person who does right, wants to do right, desires to do right, increases in their actions of doing right, progresses out of sin and into doing right, is a saved person. Doing right. Great sermon preacher of the past. Bob Jones Sr. preached a sermon. He says, do right till the stars fall. I think that Mrs. Burt heard that sermon live. I never did hear it live. But it's a great sermon. Do right till the stars fall. Now, the Bible says in James 4:17, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we want to talk about doing right. And I want to talk about what doing right isn't. Okay? What is not doing right? Well, you know, there's a lot of wrong ideas of doing right. And have at least eight of them. One is pragmatism. The pragmatic way of doing right. In other words, there are those people who do right when they figure out that it might benefit them to do right. Yeah. So that's when they decide to do right. They decide to do right, not because it's right, not because God said it was right, but they do right because they got it figured out that it will benefit them if they do what is right. A lot of politicians are like that. They vote for the right thing not because it's right, but because they want votes. And they got it figured out. They are not righteous people. They are pragmatists. And if you're one of those kind of persons that does right because you can figure out it might work out right better for you. Well, guess what? That's not doing right. That's not doing right. It's a false form of doing right. Number two, there is what I call the appearance of doing right. The appearance of doing right. There are those who do right to make it look like they're doing right. They want to appear to authority to do right. And so they will do right when authority is watching, when an authority will notice them. That's when they do right. Now, it's not from the heart. It's not doing right because it's right. It's a fake right. You know, that's a good word today that describes a lot of things. Fake news, and there's fake right. Well, the second fake right is do right because of appearance. Oh, it makes you look good. Well, that isn't doing right. Number three, fake right is what I call doing right because of rules. Doing right because of rules. You do right because of other people's rules. You do right because school has a rule. Now, if it didn't have the rule, you wouldn't do it. You do right because your parents have a rule. If you didn't have your parents, you wouldn't be doing right. That's not right. That's not doing right. That's not righteousness. That is fake right. I call it rules right. The other kind of fake right is we have sort of right. Sort of right. You know, I do right because, well, you know, right is sort of right. You know, it might not be absolutely right, but it's sort of right. No. Right is right and wrong is wrong. It's not sort of right. And then there is the person who, which I call it a feeling right. They do right when it feels like doing right. They do wrong when it feels like doing wrong. But they do right when they feel like doing it. And there's a lot of people who do right because they feel like doing right that particular time. I don't know why, but you know, they do right because they feel like it. They live by their feelings. They live by their flesh. And they're the typical evangelical Christian. They feel, when it feels right, they do it. They feel like going to church, they go to church. If they feel like reading their Bible, they read their Bible. They feel like doing right, they do it. But right to them is not an absolute right. It's not an absolute principle within them. It's a feeling right. Well, according to the Bible, you have to wonder if those people are saved, because that's not what righteousness is. It's not feeling righteousness. there is the convenience right. There is the convenience right. I will do right because, you know, this week it's convenient. You know, I don't have anything else to do. I guess I'll go to church. I don't have this to do. I don't have that to do. I guess I'll go to church. I don't have anything else to do. Well, I tell you what, that's not righteousness. You know, righteousness, you do right if it's convenient or it's not convenient. In fact, if you can't do right when it costs you something, if you can't do right when it's inconvenient, if you can't do right because it's right, then you're a convenient right person and you aren't righteous. Not at all. It's just a fake righteousness. And of course, we have that right, that fake right, that is what I call the who cares. You know, there's some people who just don't care. They don't care what's right, and they don't care what's wrong. They don't care about anything. They certainly are not saved people. They certainly aren't going to heaven. They certainly had not been born again. They are, you know, they don't care. Now, if we look at our text, see that that kind of fake right is also characterized by what I call a conflict in right. A conflicting right. You know what it is? It is that fake right that is bothered by other people who are committed to doing right. They are bothered by other people that do right. You know, the Bible says that Cain slew his brother. Why? Because his brother did right and he didn't like it. You know, there's people, they don't like people who do right. Oh, it irritates them. It makes them mad. They don't like to be around them. It's convicting. That's fake right. It's not righteousness. It's not the real thing. So there's a number of fake righteousness, and a lot of religious people fit in one of those characteristics. A lot of politicians fit in those characteristics. People who are lost, that's who they, what they're like. And you know, so let's contrast it to real right. You know, the Bible says, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that does right is righteous. The word righteous means justified before God. They've been declared righteous because of their faith in Christ. They've been born into God's family. And as a result, they are righteous people. Now, what are righteous people? Righteous people are people who do right because it's an internal principle. It's an internal principle. It's not an outward principle. It's not an appearance principle. It's not a forced principle. It's not someone will see you principle. It's not it will benefit you principle. It is an indisputable internal principle put there by God. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 10. Noah just read this morning, Proverbs 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, we're born sinners, and we're born foolish. And you have to teach children how to do right. Yeah, they don't do right naturally. Boy, it's a lot of work, isn't it? You've got little ones in your house. Man, you spend all day sometimes teaching them to do right. It doesn't come natural. They're born sinners. Even if you got a pretty good kid, they're still a sinner. And you still have to teach them how to do right. Over and over and over and over and over and over. Now, you know, that's the difference between a Christian parent and an unsaved parent. You know, now there's some pretty good unsaved parents out there. You know, there's some pretty good unsaved parents, and they know they somehow they learn that you're supposed to do what's right, and they teach their kids how to do what's right. But you know, a lot of unsaved people, they don't have any reason to teach their kids to do what's right because they don't do what's right. Why would they teach the kids to do what's right if they don't do what's right? But notice Hebrews chapter 10, the talks about the new covenant we have, that is characterized by the new birth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Now remember, Israel was a hard-necked, stiff-necked, rebellious people. And that was under the first covenant. And God says now, under the second covenant, they're going to be a new people. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Notice, I will put my laws into their hearts. This principle of doing right is put within the genetics of the spiritual birth when a person repents of their sin and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's an internal principle. It's a law that's inside of them. You know what a law is? The law is, I have to do right. I want to do right. Got to do right. Got to do right. You know, they said, you know what character is? They say character is what you do when nobody's around. The Bible says, the commandment to Christian workers, it says that you're supposed to obey your masters, and do your job. Do it as unto the Lord heartily, and not as men's pleasers with eye service. You know, that person that when the boss is gone, turns the corner, you slack off, you don't do your job right. Now, that's not Christian, and it isn't righteous. Now, that's what the world does, because the world doesn't have that principle within them. And it's a principle, internal principle of God that comes in a person when they get saved. Now, notice it describes this a little bit more. It says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Notice that this principle of doing right is a continuing principle. A continuing principle. It doesn't ebb. It doesn't die. It's never gone. It continues in that person's life. And they cannot live a life of sin. They cannot stay in sin. They cannot be like that, because the Spirit of God who is living in them will never let them go. And they will always be nagged by that genetic principle of the seed of that has been put in them in the new birth. It's a continuing principle. Now, this isn't necessarily talking about this, but this is a pretty strong verse that you can never lose your salvation. You can never lose your salvation. Why? Because you can never go into continuing in a path of sin, because the seed of God remains in you. Right there. It's a continued principle, continues in your life. Now notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 4. It's a great verse that is very challenging to all of us. And you know, people in the Old Testament, they were born again too. That's why these truths are living truths. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, verse 18, but the path of the just, that's the saved person, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know why? Because they don't have principle of right and wrong. They have principle of feeling. They do what they feel like. They have a principle of pride. They do whatever they want to do. They figure they do what's convenient. They do only right when they have to, when they're forced to do right. It's not an inner principle. I think it was Paul shared with me a video of a Chinese man who came to visit America. And this professor was asking him, what do you think about America? What do you see as different? And this is what he said. He says, you know what's different about America? It's religion. Now, he's from an atheistic country, and he doesn't know about God, but he knows about religion. And he says, what do you mean? He says, you know, in China, they have a totalitarian government, and people do because they are told to do. You know, places like Beijing, they have thousands and thousands of cameras on every corner. And making sure people don't jaywalk, making sure that people stop at the stoplight, you name it. It's a totalitarian government, and people are in constant fear of doing wrong because of the government. And he says, but you know, America's not like that. He says, you know what? Americans do right because of religion. He didn't know what he's saying. What he meant was because of God. He that is righteous, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. America has a background of saved people. Has a background of saved people that has formed our country, the conscience of our country, the Supreme Court building. The mosaic, the murals of Moses and the giving of the law and a history of a people, a one nation under God. In God we trust. God makes a difference. And it was much more so in days past. Much more so in days past. I remember being in Wales visiting my son. And he is in Roche Clonacrugog. And see if you can pronounce that by the end of the service. And that city of only 7,000 is full of buildings that would hold between 500 and 1,000 people, and other buildings that would hold hundreds of people, churches everywhere. Most of them are empty. And I was talking to some young people. They said, are you a Bible banger? And I said, yeah, I'm a Bible banger. What's wrong with that? And they were kind of taken back by my enthusiasm. And I says, you ever seen those buildings around this town? I says, you know what? Those buildings used to be full of people. And it was less than 100 years ago. They were full of people, thousands of people going to church, reading the Bible, praising God. Yes, it's real. A nation based on righteousness. That's what that Chinese person saw. Religion. You know, I keep telling people, talk to people, and I say to people, I say, do you believe in God? And it's a pretty good conversation taker. And we start talking about how God has been banned from our society. And these Antifa, they don't care about burning buildings. They don't care about killing people. They don't care about anybody's property. They have filthy, filthy mouths that even construction workers would blush to hear their mouths. They're wicked people. You know why? Because God has been banned from our society. And we got a whole party and a bunch of rhinos too, and they're big fat liars, and they don't care about, they don't blush when they lie. You know, they can smile when they lie. And we have a nation of liars. You know why? Because God has been banned. But you know, when a person gets saved, doing right becomes a part of their inner being. It's a convicting principle. This principle, doing right, It's not an internal, only an internal principle. It's a law. It is a continuing principle. It's always there. It is a convicting principle. A convicting principle. What do you mean? A convicting principle. It pricks when you don't do right. It warns you when you're thinking about doing wrong. It condemns you when you do wrong. It's a convicting principle. The Bible tells us when the Spirit of God is come, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is a convictor. When you get saved, you can't just keep on doing wrong, because when you do get saved and you do wrong, the Holy Spirit is right there, pricking your heart. It's real. That's why the Bible says, he that is born of God is righteous. He does right. Not perfect, but he has this principle of right in his soul. It's a convicting principle. Because of the Holy Spirit, it is a growing principle. I call it a biblically enhanced principle. A biblically enhanced principle. In other words, the more you know about the Bible, the more your spirit will do right. The more you know about the Bible, or as you read the Bible, as you hear the Bible, it won't be there. It will be, you can't run away from it now. You can't run. If you can go, if you can run away from the Bible, if you can excuse what the Bible says, if you can read it and brush it off, if you can read the Bible and not get pricked in your heart, then you haven't been saved. Right. You haven't been saved. Because he that is righteous is born of God. The Bible says the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's light. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That means conviction. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know where God's voice is? Right here. Right here. It's a biblically enhanced. It is fed. It is informed. It is enhanced by Bible truth. It produces the renewing of your mind. And it increases the principle, that internal principle of do right. Do right. Do right. Do right. You know, that's kind of irritating, isn't it? Ever been irritated by that? You know, you go and you take something out of your closet, you know, and the coat hanger falls to the ground. Oh, now you got to pick it up. Oh, it's so irritating, isn't it? It's so irritating to do right. Yeah. Because you know what? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Yeah, it's irritating. Sometimes. But it's real. And you know that God has done something in your child's life. When the coat hanger falls to the ground and no one's there to check on him, and they feel compelled to pick it up and put it back on a rack. That's right. It's just as simple as that. You know, it's just as simple as I got an assignment from my teacher. Mom doesn't know about it. Dad doesn't know about it. But I know about it, and God knows about it, and I have to do it. That's all there is to it. Is this not rocket science to figure that out, folks? It's not rocket science to figure that out, young people. If you can just skip over what's right, that inner principle is not functioning in your soul. Now maybe you're fighting a bigger battle. Maybe you're fighting bitterness. Maybe you're fighting some big sin in your life and haven't gotten it right. Whatever, I don't know what that big sin is, but the principle of doing right is the principle of being born again. And, you know, it's very, I'm not trying to make this theologically difficult. When you get saved, all of a sudden now, you have to do what's right. Now, before you're saved, you can decide if you're going to forgive somebody or not. But after you get saved, you have to forgive. Before you get saved, you can decide to be bitter and hang on to it for 5,000 years like most people do. Or you can get rid of it because you can't keep it because you're a Christian. That's just as simple as that. There's the difference. The person who can hang on to it, make an excuse the rest of their life, probably, it's pretty likely that either they got some big sin in their life if they're Christian, or they've never been born again. That's the difference. That's why we have such a bitter society today. Man, people, hateful, bitter, vile. They have nothing within them to make them have to do what's right. Nothing. This principle of right is a principle that's reinforced by the chastening of God. Yeah. It's reinforced by the chastening of God. You know what the chastening of God is? It's called God's spanking. Yeah. It's God's discipline when we do wrong. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Yeah. Now, it's pretty simple. Now, when you get saved, that becomes real. You know? And if you're saved, you learn that real fast. You will learn that really fast. And it's just like little kids. You know, little kids. You're trying to teach them do right. And Emily and Tyler, they're trying to teach their kids to do right, you know, and sometimes I'm over at their house and they have to give a little correction session to one of their children 3 or 4 times in, you know, an hour. Man, they really got to work at it. You know, when you're young in the Lord, you get a little bit more chastening when you're older because hopefully you learned. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully you learned. But, the Bible says that the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then ye are what? Not born again. You're not saved. If you don't get chastening, Now, what's chastening? Well, God spanks you. And you know, when you get spanked, then you learn. Then you learn. And my famous illustration is when we started the church here, we're going to build this building. And we needed some equipment. And there was an auction on Sunday morning. And Sunday's the Lord's Day, folks. And so, against my conscience, I went to this auction. I justified it because it was the Lord's work. We're going to buy this truck, you know, for the Lord's work. I bought the truck. And auction's over. Get the truck. It's got a head gasket leak. Junk. Wasted my money. You know what? $450 in those days was a lot of money. And you know what? I've been tempted once or twice. If I see an auction on Sunday, I say, forget it. Forget it. I'm not going to auction on Sunday. I learned my lesson. I'm going to do what's right. You see? Chastening. Yeah, we don't always do right, but when you're saved, you learn it. Get spanked a few times, and you get burnt a couple times. And, you know, now you don't have to go to the back room for that one anymore. It's reinforced by chastening. It's reinforced by chastening. I don't have that problem. And I can do right on Sunday now. I don't have to go to the auction. You know, that law, draws you to holy men. It's the opposite of Cain and Abel. Cain, he was mad because Abel did right. You know, it's just like the kid in school or the so-called fake Christian kid who makes fun of the kid who's doing right. They make fun of the kid that's doing right. They say snide remarks about the person who's doing right. That shows that they haven't been saved. But you know, when you're saved, you know what? You want to be around godly people. You want to be, those are the kind of people you want to be your friends. They help you do what's right. You like people who do what's right. It's the opposite of Cain and Abel. You're drawn to godly people. And you want to be around godly people. You know what? Maybe we'll get there. But that kind of puts us where we're at today. Salvation is real. One of the true marks of being saved is that you have that principle of doing right. And that principle, the last thing, it's a principle of, it's progressive. It's not only reinforced by chastening, but it's progressive. In other words, wherever you are, that's where you start. And you go from there forward. Forward. You go forward for wherever you are. Now, you know what? In my experience, I've heard of churches that were started in farming communities. And I know some men, some preachers, that were farmers, and they got saved. Well, you know how to spell farm, don't you? W-O-R-K. Work. And you know what? I do the chores by myself. And you know what? You don't do them right, you suffer. And I don't feel like jumping over that fence and picking up that hay. Or I feel like doing that, but you know, you got to do it. You got to do them right. And I remember the story of Ed Nelson. He's a farmer. He got saved. He got saved, and 2 days later, he said to his dad, he said, "Dad, we need to have family devotions." Saved 2 days. "Dad, we need to have family devotions." Wow. He's a farmer. He had character. You know, I remember I met a great man down there in fact, Brother King, most of you know Brother King. He's a farmer. He came from a farm family. And his nephews and uncles were farmers. Wildwood Baptist Church was started by a bunch of people who got saved who were farmers. And you know what? Their church, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, they start tithing. They start going soul winning. Why? Because they were raised with character. But you know, for some people, it's a little bit longer path because they're raised lazy. They don't have any character. But you know what? That doesn't make any difference. The path upward might be a little bit slower, but they're going to get there. Amen. They're going to get there. Now, it might take them a while to get where this other person started, but they're going to get there because the principle of doing right is a law within the heart of a person who gets saved. You know, all of us have some area in our life that we're backwards on when we get saved, right? And somebody else raised in a Christian home might be a long way ahead of us. But that's not, don't be discouraged by that, because you know, you got that principle right, it's going to shine more and more unto the perfect day. It's going to shine more and more, and things are going to level out, and you're going to be where you're supposed to be. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Show us how real this is. How real is this, Pastor? How real is this? Actually, 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6:9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You know, the unrighteous, those that don't do right. That's what it is. Those that don't do right. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." And such were some of you. Yes. Past tense. The principle of law got put in their heart when they got saved. Oh, they might have lots of tentacles of those sins poking around that they gotta get victory through the Lord, but the law of right is there. Oh, I can't think that way. I can't think that way. I can't do that. I can't go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to think that way. You know, that's what our society needs. Amen? Our society needs genuine salvation. I tell you, how long would it take you to get somebody that has no character to get character? I don't know if you could ever get it out of them. You know, the Bible says that if you would take a fool and you would grind him in a mortar with a pestle, you'd still not get the foolishness out of him. But you know, you get them saved. You get them saved, and they become a new creature. And now you got something to work with. Now there's someone that's going to change. Now there's someone that's going to obey the Bible. Now there is a heavenly voice. Now there's a heavenly law. There's a heavenly desire. Yes, it's real. It's real. And so, you know, it's a blessing to do right. It's a blessing to do right. The Bible says there's some great verses in Proverbs about doing right. It says in Proverbs 11, verse 3. We have a minute here. You don't have anything to do today yet. Proverbs chapter 11. This is the Lord's day. Proverbs 11. You know, one time I preached short and a guy met me at the door and said, "Pastor, that's the shortest sermon I ever heard you preach. I want some of my money back. So I'm going to give you your money's worth today." Proverbs 11, 3. It says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." You know, that's a great principle. You have some character of doing right in your life. And it's going to guide you in life through the toughest of times, through the most paths that have the most pits and snares, and you're just going to go pat right through there. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, there's another good verse. It says here, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." What's it saying? You know, you got a dad, a mom who believes in doing right, and they do right because it's right no matter what. Guess what? It even rubs off on the kids. Rubs off on the kids. You know, the Bible says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Isn't that great? "He that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap" what? "Life everlasting." You reap what you sow. In life, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You want to do whatever you want to do? I can guarantee you. I'll sign a contract. You'll have a hard life. You'll have a hard life. The way of transgressors is hard. Sin always will come back and sting you. It always will. Yeah, the blessing of doing right is having fellowship with God, changing your life, changing a clear conscience, joy, peace, growing in Christ. Oh, there's so many blessings of doing what is right. I'm afraid that we live in a day in which so many people want to do what's wrong. You know, I don't know where, somehow I had this in my message. But you know, this is the real issue of the hour as far as religion is concerned. Did you know that? It's the issue of the hour. It's the difference between the apostate church and the faithful church. This whole principle of doing right. See if you can figure it out in this verse. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It tells us that the apostate church is built on the principle of telling people what they want to hear. And it's telling us that a true church, and you think back to 1 John about Cain and Abel, a true church is based on people being drawn to a church that wants to do right. Amen? A people that want to do right, and a church that wants to do right, wants to obey the Bible. And the apostate church is the church that I fear has a bunch of people never been born again because they're not committed to doing what's right. They're desirous to do what's right if it's convenient or if it fits their thinking or if it fits their schedule, you name it. Amazing. And so the Bible says, our closing thought is this verse. My little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man, I'm saved, I know the Lord. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Pretty simple truth. Pretty simple truth. The principle of doing right is a basic principle of the result of repenting of your sin, repenting of going your own way, repenting, seeing yourself as a sinner, deserving to go to hell, and turning in surrender to Christ, total dependence upon Him for what He did at Calvary's cross, and turning to Him in surrender, in repentance, to be your Lord and Savior. You need Him. You want Him. You want Him to change your life. You're tired of your old life. There isn't any magic words. One man merely said, Lord, when everybody else was mocking him, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Another man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Another man said, Lord, whatever I've done wrong, I'll restore it fourfold. There's no magic words. But to turn to Jesus Christ as a sinner and to trust Him is real. And at that moment, a sinner gets what every sinner needs, a new heart, a new life. It's real. Wouldn't you like to come to Christ today? Isn't that a good deal? Isn't that a good deal? Come to Christ as a sinner, calling upon Him in humility and repentance and asking Him to save you and change your life. And He gives you a new heart. Your life will never be the same. Your life and there always will be getting better by God's grace. Always will be getting better. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a day of deception. A lot of religion. A lot of fake religion. A lot of fake Christians. A lot of fake politicians. A lot of fake news. But Lord, we thank You that You have the real thing. And Lord, I don't know what we would do without You. And Lord, I hate to think of how we would ruin our lives if You had saved us. And how many foolish and stupid decisions we'd make. And how many sins we would follow that would just ruin our life and make our life miserable. Except, Lord, for Your mercy, And somehow, Lord, hearing the gospel, the good news of Christ, and trusting the Savior. Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved. And Lord, I pray today that you'll help that precious, precious soul today to be honest with themselves, to admit their sinfulness. And maybe for some, their despising of doing what's right and their rebellion against right. Lord, they need to be saved. Might they finally admit it? Might they come to you today, empty-handed, nothing to come with except the blood of Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today, you say, Pastor Roberts, I'm not saved. I can say specifically, I've not come to that place in my life. I repented of my sin, trusted Christ, and this principle of right came in my soul. But I need it. I want it. Would you pray for me? That I would come to a place where I'd be so sick of my sin that it'd be nothing for me, just a simple call out to Jesus for salvation. He'd save me. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone here today? Okay. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? How about a young person? Have you been born again? Or you just have fakeness? Perhaps you're here today and say, you know, I've been around the wrong crowd. I've been around the wrong kind of people. Those that brag about doing the wrong thing. And you know, I need to get around the right kind of people. I need to be in the Bible more. I need to have my heart stirred to do what's right. Maybe the Spirit of God, you've been pushing off the Spirit of God when He convicts you of wrong. And you need to be letting Him work. You need to be responding to Him. And the Lord is speaking to your heart that that principle of doing right needs to grow in your life. And maybe right now there's some things of doing right that you've been putting off. And you're fighting the Holy Spirit as well as fighting yourself. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm wrestling with this, doing right. I know I need to do right. Maybe you aren't, but pray for me. I'm wrestling with this principle, and God is dealing with my heart today. Anyone here today? Say, Pastor, pray for me, okay? Amen. Anyone else? Pray for me. I'm struggling about doing right. I'm wrestling. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? Others? Amen. I'm struggling. I want that rightness to shine more and more. Pray for me. Anyone else? Okay. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for those humble enough to raise their hand saying they need to be saved. Lord, the devil doesn't want to give them up. But Lord, you want them. You want to save them. Lord, work in their heart. Lord, bring them to the place of faith. Bring them to the place where they can trust you like a little child and believe on you 100%. A loving God who wants to save them. And Lord, I pray for your people. Lord, I pray that you will give victory. I pray that, Lord, that their strength of soul will increase. And that, Lord, they will be convinced of the blessings of doing right. And help them say yes to you. We pray that you'd bless the invitation and the message today In Jesus' name, amen.